I haven't seen it on that fashion in a long time, but we appreciate being here. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself, and just even simple things like going over to the city park and taking a walk for a few minutes around the track just takes me back. It was as though I was over there with Mom and Dad yesterday and today. I mean, just all kinds of things. I've thoroughly enjoyed being here. I've enjoyed being in meeting with you. And I'm still amazed that Brother Ledbetter would have me in, that he would let me come preach to you. I'm thankful for it. I was thinking while the choir was singing, Jesus never fails. Amen. The Lord saved me on January the 5th of 1992. And so that's been 92, what's that, 02, 12, 22, 31 years now. And that's longer than some, not as long as others. Brother Joe told myself and Brother Ledbetter before service that today, 63 years ago today, God saved him. And I thought to myself, I mean, I know 31 years, that's not a long time, but it's a little ways down the road. I got a little bit behind me. And I think I got enough track record behind me. And I've got enough of God seeing me through behind me to just give you the testimony that Jesus never fails. And if you don't believe me, then here's a man that's been saved for 63 years. And if we were to have him stand and give him a microphone and say, tell us about all the times that Jesus failed you, he would be sure to report proudly, not once. Jesus never fails. Amen. Whatever the problem is, the solution is Jesus. Amen. Well, thank the Lord for being here. Let's jump right in here into Psalms chapter number 40. And I want to try to finish these three verses. Certainly not trying to finish the entire chapter. But I just studied as I was preparing this several weeks ago. These three verses, they got a hold of me a long time ago. Matter of fact, when little kids will come up to me and say, will you sign my Bible? I'm always amazed at why in the world you want me to sign your Bible. And I'll start looking at some of the names that signed their Bibles. And I really don't feel like I should be signing the Bible where, you know, some of those great men have signed. And I always sign Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. It means something to me, and it has all these years. And not too long ago, God let me do some studying here, and it helped our church. I'm hopeful that it's helping you as you're listening to the preaching. You've been a good audience, a good congregation, and I want to tell you I appreciate that. Psalm chapter 40, if you would please, let's stand and reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll read these first three verses, pray together, do a real quick recap of what we've looked at up to this point, and then we'll try to give you the thoughts from verse number 3 that God's given us, and we pray and trust that it'll be a help to you. Right. Psalm chapter number 40, verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Yes. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I would ask you to pray with me. Pray for me. Pray that God would help us now as we try to dive into this passage. Pray God give us good liberty, good touch of God to preach. I've heard me preach before, and I can't preach my way out of a wet paper bag. But it takes God, no matter who the preacher is. Pray with us. God would help us and give us a good touch of God tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, once again, we are indeed thankful and grateful to be in your house. We appreciate, Lord, the time that you've allowed us to spend here these days. Father, we thank you again for how you've touched us and helped us, not just in the preaching, Father, but I mean, I feel in my heart this is what you gave us for this meeting, and Lord, that you're using it to help your people. And I pray that you'll do it again tonight, that you'll help us to preach. Lord, that you'll be pleased with the preaching. And God, that you'd help us as a congregation to be open, have an open heart, open mind to what you have for us tonight. And I realize that a lot of folks have have got work and places to go, sleep to get, and so on. But Lord, help us to focus our attention on you and your word tonight for just a little while. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we began looking in this chapter, Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, Just doing some word study, trying to define some things to get an understanding, to get a handle on what it was Dave was trying to describe to us when he mentioned in verse number 2, this horrible pit. He said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. And we defined that word horrible, defined that word pit, and we just took it a step further as David did and noted the miry clay, just trying to get an idea of what it was that David is describing to us, the situation that he's in. And put it in, long story short, just trying to recap real quick, the gist of it is it's a situation that he is in. He can't get out of it. He's tried to get out of it. He's exhausted every way he can think of to get out of it. And the more he stirs around in it, the worse the situation gets. It is a sticky situation. It's just a horrible pit. It's not a place anybody wants to be. It's not a place he wants to be. It's just a terrible situation that he finds himself in. And he's reflecting back. If you look in verse 1, 2, and 3, the past tense of what he's saying, he's reflecting back on a time when he was in a pit and how that God brought him out. Why would we want to look at that? Because of the times we find ourselves in an horrible pit, in the miry clay, and we don't know how we're going to make it through. We don't know how we're going to get out. Try as we may, it just seems to get worse and worse. We can look at what David has said, how that he looked back and God saw him through, and he'll encourage us and give us faith and hope and confidence and trust in our Lord that he'll see us through as well. And so we're preaching on that subject of an horrible pit. Now, this bears repeating. This is part of what the entire series of messages leans on, and it's the picture of the pit. What could this pit represent to you and I as we read this passage and as we study it and we look at it together? I thought about it this way. It could represent a pit of depravity, or it could just the pit of sin that God found us in when he found us and saved us by his good grace. I don't want to ever get over the fact that God came by where I was, saw me in my pit of sin. He wasn't afraid of my pit. He wasn't afraid of my filth. He wasn't afraid of my sin. And he dealt with me, drew me unto himself, old-fashioned, old-time, Holy Ghost conviction, drew me unto himself. And when I came to an altar and I asked him to save me, he did. And he changed my life. And I've never been the same since. I don't want to ever get over what he did when he picked me up out of that pit of defilement and that pit of depravity. Amen. Could be a pit of detainment, times in our lives that we have fallen prey. We have fallen prey to a snare or a trap of the devil. May I say, God is faithful to come by where we are and help us in those times when we're in a pit of detainment. And I thought about this. What about a pit of depression? I know a little bit about that. I've got family history and I've got my own history. I know a little bit about what it is to go through bouts and seasons of depression. May I say, it is good to know that God is still on the throne, that he still cares for us, that he still loves us when we think nobody does. And if we'll just trust him and lean on him, he'll come by where we are, even in a pit of depression. And he'll work in our heart and life, and he'll see us through. Now, I said all that just to say this. Those are just three things I thought about. I don't know what you've thought about, but I kind of wonder, not that I'm asking for feedback, but I just kind of wonder what it is in your heart and mind that this pit represents. I mean, surely to goodness, after now three nights of preaching, God the Holy Ghost has spoke to your heart and pointed something out. This is your pit. This is the name of your pit. I've named three of my pits that I've saw God bring me through. I wonder what name you would give the pit that you're familiar with. You would give your pit, what name you would give your pit that you have found yourself in, or that from time to time you find yourself in. I just wonder what you would call your pit, because I can't help but believe with all the different kinds of people there are, that there's all kinds of different pits that people are subject to. Whatever the case, whatever your pit is, my hope and my request of you is that as we preached Monday night and as we preached Tuesday night and as we're trying to preach tonight, that you will keep that pit in your mind as we see how David describes God bringing him out of that horrible pit. Because what he did for David, he'll do for you. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. What he's done for you in the past, he can do again. Matter of fact, he don't have to repeat himself. It doesn't matter if we find ourselves in the same pit. God's not confined to do something one way, the same way every time. God is able to deliver us in any numerous manner of ways if we'll trust God with our pits. The picture of the pit, diving into verse 1, we noted patience in the pit. And I heard a lot of Bibles just slam right there on Monday night. No, I'm kidding. Nobody likes to talk about patience. Nobody likes to think about patience. We don't live in a patient society. We're not by and large patient people. But if we're going to be used of God and if we're going to exhibit our faith and trust in Him, it's going to come by way of exercising patience in the pit. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. Waiting patiently is the opposite of kicking and screaming and pitching a fit and a tantrum and accusing God and pointing the finger of blame toward the heavens and saying this is your fault, God. And it's the epitome of faith, just quiet faith and trust in Him to wait patiently on the Lord. We saw the personal nature of waiting in the pit. David said, This is a personal thing between you and your God. We saw the patience necessary of waiting in the pit. He said he waited patiently. We defined wait, defined patiently, looked at all that. And we noted this in the first time David's mentioned waiting patiently in Psalm chapter 40. It's not the last time David mentioned waiting patiently after Psalm chapter 40. And then we looked at this, the preeminent name of waiting in the pit. Who am I waiting on? Amen. I'm still thrilled with this. Who it is that I'm waiting on to deliver me out of the pit. If I'm going to wait patiently on Him, I want to know who it is I'm waiting patiently on. The long story short, if you weren't here, you just need to get the CD or something. I don't know how y'all are set up to go back and hear it again, but the long story short is He said, I'm waiting on the Lord. And He's, by the definition and by the word, He's waiting on Jehovah. Oh, who we're waiting on. Amen. Waiting on He is. Waiting on I am. Waiting on the self-existent one. Waiting on the independent one. Amen. Waiting on the immutable one. Waiting on the infinite fullness of the divine being that's all wrapped up in one man, that being Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're waiting on the one, by the definition, waiting on the one who has pledged He will fulfill His promises. Amen. Amen. Well, I think if that's who I'm waiting on, He probably can be trusted. Amen. Come on now. He can be trusted to be waited upon. Am I right? Amen. So we looked at all that on Monday night. Last night, we began in verse number 1 again. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. The prayer or the petition that David offered up from the pit. We indicated his present position and we studied the verse. It implies previous praying. The fact that he waited, that's past tense. God inclined unto him, that's past tense. Heard his cry, it's all past tense. He's reflecting back on a time when God heard him pray, heard him cry out to God from the pit and answered his prayer.
Amen.
And I can't get into all that again or we'll be preaching all that again. The fact that He inclines unto us. I really like the point that He's predisposed my direction. I mean, I really like that. That's a blessing to my heart. God is predisposed. He is already inclined in your favor. Just because you're in a pit doesn't mean that God is not inclined in your favor. I love that part. And then we saw David's crying out to God, how that God heard his cry. David's hallooing. You just have to listen to it again. I'm not getting into all that again. Are y'all out there? Amen. That was a good word. I enjoy good word study when I don't know what in the world the word is. We saw that David's heard. We moved on, verse 2, to preservation in the pit. I like it. He brought me. Amen. He didn't send me out of the pit. He didn't help me out of the pit. I mean, it'd be good if he sent me out of the pit because I'm getting out of the pit. It'd be good if he helped me out of the pit because I'd be getting out of the pit. But the Bible said he brought me out of the pit, implying that God got in the pit with him. Amen. That God will fellowship. Hey, God will fellowship. I'm about to preach what I preached last night and add to it. God will fellowship with you in your pit if you'll cry out to him and you'll seek his face. God will get in the pit with you. And I'd whole lot rather be in the pit, in the will of God, with God, than out of the pit on my own. Amen. Well, hallelujah, we looked at the direction. The direction. It's not down and out, that's pit talk. It's not in and out, that's pit talk. It's up and out. Amen. He brought me up and out. Amen. It'd do us good to get our affections on things above. It would do us good to look up because our redemption draweth nigh. One way or the other, God's going to bring us up and out of the pit. Amen. The discerning also. You're not the only one in the pit. And he's not. You're not the first one he's going to bring up. You're not the last one he's going to bring up and out. Also, we noted the development, how that he wants to ground us, set our feet upon a rock, how that he wants to establish our goings. So that brings us then to verse number 3. That took entirely too long. Verse number 3, the Bible said, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." I want to point out here, praise in the pit. Now I understand what I just said, and I understand that in our minds and in our thinking, what I just said, some of these words don't really go together. Praise and pit don't really seem to go together. They don't seem like they should be fit in the same sentence. Am I right? This is not what we're thinking while we're in the pit. We're not thinking about praising God while we're in the pit. We're not thinking about rejoicing in the good things of God while we're in the pit. We're not thinking about how good God is to give us His Word and how we can trust the promises of the Word of God and thank Him for it while we're in the pit. But David said, he hath put a new song in my... He's reflecting back on his time in the pit, and somewhere, sometime in the pit, God got in the pit with him and he got to worship God and praise God in the pit. This isn't what we want to think about in the pit, this business of praising God. But I want you to understand this. This is as much a part of the direction and instruction as waiting patiently for the Lord is. Right. Praising God in the pit is just as much a part of David reflecting back on his pit experience as waiting patiently on the Lord is. It's an important part of our experience as well. It's just as important as praying in the pit. It's all part of it. It's all commingled. I mean, waiting patiently on God in the pit, on Jehovah, that's part of it. Praying, calling out to God, chasing Him with shouts, calling Him by name and all the definition, that's part of getting with God and God seeing you through the pit. But I'm telling you, just as big a part of God delivering you out of the horrible pit is you praising God in the pit. This is not a natural response. This is a spiritual response. This is not an accidental response. This is a purposeful response. Nobody ever praised God in the pit on accident. Nobody ever praised God in the pit because they felt like it. Nobody ever praised God in the pit because they looked around and decided, well, I love where I'm at. I think I'll praise God for this pit. Nobody ever praised God in the pit by accident. But it would do you and I good to make up our mind, even in our pit experiences, that God is good and that God is worthy and that God is faithful and that we're going to praise God even in the pit. Amen. It's not a natural thing to do. It's a spiritual thing. And it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen if you purpose in your heart that you're going to praise God, not because you feel like it, not because of your circumstances, but because He is worthy. If He never picks me up out of my horrible pit, He is worthy. Amen. Well, I thought about this as well. This is not the behavior of a carnal man. This is the behavior of a spirit-filled man. Amen. Wrapped up in the world, wrapped up in carnality, wrapped up in the things this world has to offer, wrapped up in the problems of the world, that's not at all conducive to praising God in the pit. But I'm talking about filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about walk with God and seeking His face. That's the kind of man it's going to take to praise God in the pit. Preacher, then you just counted me out. Why are you giving up so easy? Why are you giving up so easy? Just because somebody said something about being filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to give up just that easy? Oh, that's for the preacher. That's for the pastor. That's for the missionary. That's for the evangelist. Why ain't it for you? Why ain't it for you young people, 20 years old or so, give or take? Why ain't it for you? Why ain't it for you that have been saved for a bunch of years? Why ain't it for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God? Why ain't it for you to walk with God? Why ain't it for you to walk with God in fellowship with Him? Why ain't it for you to pray every day and read your Bible and get something from God? Why do you feel like you have to come to church to get something from that book?
Amen.
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 You know, you feed yourself two or three times a day. Why can't you feed off of the Word of God yourself?
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about praising God in the pit is a spiritual thing to do. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Notice here our chorus. The Bible said, He hath put a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
Who is it? The placement of the song. Who is it that put this song in his mouth? This isn't something David did for himself. This is something somebody else did for him.
Amen.
Who is it? And he. Who is he? Who is he that put this song in his mouth? Well, it's the same one that David was waiting patiently for. It's the same one that he inclined unto and heard his cry. It's the same one that brought him up also out of that horrible pit and the miry clay. It's the same one that sets his feet upon a rock. It's the same one that's established his going. It's the same one that has put this song in his mouth. I don't know. I just thought about it this way. Maybe the change of scenery changed his song. Maybe. Maybe being brought up and out brought out this new song. I don't know what he was singing. I literally, looking over this morning and just reviewing it some more and praying over it, I read these words and I just typed this in. I don't know what song he was singing while he was in the pit. And I thought about this. He's probably singing, or could have been, a lot of us do, doom, despair, and agony on me. That's pit talk. That's pit singing. That's pit mentality. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about David said somewhere along the line, God changed his tune. Amen. That's right, pun intended. God changed his tune. God put a new song in his mouth. Amen. I dare say somewhere along the line when he got his eyes off of his surroundings. When he got his eyes off of the pit and he began to focus his attention on the one that he was waiting on. I'd say that's about the time that God began to bubble up in his soul with a new chorus, with a new song. Amen. The placement of the song, it's God that put that in his heart. The particulars of the song, he described it as a new song. Well, Strong's Concordance of the word new and then of the word song. The word new means new. What about that? Thank you, Mr. Strong. No, it means new. It means fresh. Coming from a word meaning to be new, to rebuild, renew, or repair. A new song. A song, singing, music, musical, singer, singing, song, all you think it is. And so this new song, as he described it, we understand that it could be a completely new song. I mean a completely new song. Have you ever just had something bubbling up in your heart and it didn't rhyme and it didn't have a good tune to it, but it was just from your heart to God's ears, as it were. You just telling Him you love Him, and it was kind of set to some music in you. Have you ever done that? A new song. Probably nobody else wants to hear it, but let me tell you, he can't wait to hear it. That might be one reason he let us spend a little time in the pit, is so that when we get our eyes on him, maybe, just maybe, we'll respond with that bubbling in our heart and sing unto him. Amen. That new song might have been a completely new song. Never heard it, never sang it before. Could be an old song that becomes fresh. Amen. Didn't mean something before, but now he's been through this experience. Amen. Didn't mean so much before, but now that he's been through this pit, now that God saw him through, now that God has proven himself faithful one more time, it might be that an old song that he's heard back in church, an old song from the choir, an old song that he's heard that would magnify and glorify God, it just kind of come back out of nowhere and it just hit a little different this time. Hey man, I'm talking about a new song. It could be, I mean, by the definition, it could be, you know, kind of an old song that becomes fresh all over again. Could be sort of a rebuilt song that goes along with a rebuilt life. That's called a remix. Amen. Whatever the case, he described it as a new song. A new song. The positioning of this song, it's in his mouth. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. You know the verses, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He said it this way in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. The song in your mouth is coming directly from your heart.
Amen.
The song in your mouth is coming directly from what is in your heart. I dare say we need to pay close attention to what we're saying and what we're singing in the pit, because it's an indicator. It's a reflection of what's going on in our heart. In that moment, in the pit.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. If it ain't in his heart, it ain't going to come out his mouth. If it ain't in his heart to sing, I don't know, Jesus loves me. I mean, whatever the song. If it ain't in his heart to praise God with a new song, it ain't coming out of his mouth.
Right.
You ever just stop and listen to yourself and just shake your head?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you got to stop to catch it. Sometimes God will stop you so you will catch it. Just going on, mumbling, grumbling, griping, complaining, tantrum, fit, just, you know, and And what's coming out of our mouth reflects what's in our heart. And then God will just bring you to a halt. And you'll think to yourself, dear Lord, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. What in the world? Why? Well, could be that we've got down and out mindset, in and out mindset, instead of an up and out focus. The chorus. Secondly, notice our commendation. Verse number 3, even praise unto our God. Praise, it's laudation, specifically in Him and praise. God wants us to give Him thanks and wants us to praise Him regarding our pit.
That's right.
This is just the way I thought about it. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, he said, giving thanks always for all things. Preacher, are you trying to tell us we are to be thankful in the pit? For the pit? Are we supposed to be thankful in the pit? For the pit? That's spiritual right there. That's trying to do right. That's trying to please God. That's waiting patiently. That's trusting God. That's a matter of faith to be able to genuinely, in your heart, from your heart, thank God in the pit, for the pit.
Right. Yes, sir.
Preacher, have you done that before? Not near as many times as I've been in the pit, if I'm being honest with you. By the way, I'm not preaching to you like somebody that's arrived. I'm talking about some things I've experienced. And there have been many times I've mumbled my way through the pit and probably could have got out of the pit way sooner if I'd have just got real with God and let God get real with me. Praise God in the pit, for the pit. It's a totally foreign concept to today's Christianity. Because it's not what we're thinking about in the pit, this business of praising God in the pit. But I want to say it again, it is as much a part of the instruction. Praising God in the pit, for the pit. It's as much of the instruction as waiting patiently for the Lord. It's as much of the instruction, it's as much of the example as praying in the pit. Amen. It's not a natural response. It's not accidental. It's not the behavior of a carnal man. Our commendation. I just thought about this, insert it, and move on. I thought about our chance. By chance, that's for the outline to say our opportunity. When you're in a horrible pit, what an opportunity. But we're not thinking about it that way. We're not thinking about, oh, what an opportunity is mine because I'm in this pit. But what a better time to thank God and praise God and demonstrate to God, Lord, I love you. What a better opportunity than in the pit to demonstrate to God, Lord, I trust you. What a better opportunity than in the pit to tell Him, Lord, I believe you.
Amen.
I'm talking about our opportunity. It's easy to praise God when everything's going well. It's easy to praise God when we're skipping from peak to peak, when our heart is happy. That's when it's easy to praise God. Man, you can go to camp meeting with that kind of life. I mean, if it was just all good and it's anywhere all bubbly inside and I mean just everything's wonderful, you can have meeting with that, but it gets real whenever it's the pit.
Yes, sir.
It's not necessarily easy to sing and praise God in the pit. But it is the perfect opportunity to demonstrate our faith and our confidence and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for Him. Are y'all getting this? God help us to grow enough. God help us to develop enough as a Christian. God help us to mature enough as a Christian that we can get to a place where we see the pit as an opportunity to praise God and worship Him. It's hard to praise God and doubt at the same time. It's hard to praise God and complain at the same time. It's hard to praise God and worry at the same time. It's hard to praise God and fret at the same time. But what an opportunity.
Amen.
I'm almost done. I preached 59 minutes and change two nights in a row. I don't think I'm going to keep you that long tonight. And all of God's people said amen, right? This is what it all boils down to. The purpose of the pit. He said in verse number 3, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now here it is. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What's the purpose of the pit? Well, this much I know. It's not even about you. It's about others. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. The pit ain't even about you. It's about others. You're involved. Oh, without a doubt, you're involved. When I'm in the pit, I mean, I'm involved. I'm a part of it. But it ain't even about me. It's about others. Our pit experience can, should, and if we'll respond right, will have an effect on others. Notice their concept. Many shall see it. Many shall see it. The certain viewing, many shall. That is very affirmative. Very, very sure. The wording, many shall. I mean, there's no mistaking it. You might think nobody sees you in the pit, but you can be certain, many. You may think no one sees you in the pit, but you can be certain, shall. It's a certainty. You're in the pit, somebody's watching. Count on it. Just count on it. It's a fact. Many shall. It's a certain viewing, the confirmed viewing. See, many shall see. They're watching. They may not know all the details of your pit, but they know enough, and they're watching. They may not know all the circumstances of what you're going through, but here's what they know. They know you've made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. They know that you named the name of Christ, and they've got certain expectations. They're watching, and they want to see how you and I are going to respond. If our walk will match up with our talk, many shall see. You can be sure of it. They have a concept of what they hope happens or what they expect will happen. Now here's an interesting point. The calculated viewing. Many shall see it. It what? It's a reasonable question. Many shall see it. It what? Well, grammatically, Paul's just referring back to what he said in the prior verses. Verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. They see us waiting patiently for the Lord in the pit. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. They see us as God inclines to us and hears our cries. Verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. They see Him bring us up, bring us out, and deliver us from the horrible pit and the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. They see Him put our feet on a rock, get us grounded, get us settled, and establish our goings. They see that. Many shall that, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. If we'll sing it, they'll see it. If we'll praise Him, they'll see it. Many shall see it. It what? Quite frankly, the whole pit experience. Many shall see it. They're watching. Wouldn't it be something? For somebody to be watching your life. They know your profession. They know that you claim the name of Christ. Wouldn't it be something for them to be watching and them see it? Them see you praise God even in the pit. Them see you worship God even in the pit. Thank God in the pit for the pit. I mean, praying and God answered your prayers even from the pit. Wouldn't it be something for folks to see it? Are y'all getting this? You see the concept. Many shall see it. The concept, if we'll do it, by the way, if we'll do it, if we'll wait on Him, pray, seek His face, trust Him, pray, praise Him, worship Him, sing, even in the pit, if we'll do it, they'll see it, and their concept will lead to their concern. Many shall see it and fear. And fear. The word fear means all things you think it does. To fear, to revere, make afraid, be or have in reverence. Has anybody noticed that just a good, healthy fear / reverence for God in our country and in our generation seems to be at an all-time low? Have you ever saw it lower? A fear of God among the general populace, a reverence for the things of God, the house of God, the people of God, the Word of God. Have you ever saw it at any lower than you see it right now in your country? I haven't either. But I can't blame them. They're just looking for it. If we'll do it, they'll see it. And if they see it, they shall fear. There will be a fear. There will be a reverence. There will be a healthy respect for God, the things of God, the Word of God, and the people of God. If we'll do it, they'll see it, and it'll cause them to be concerned. Amen. God said many would see us in the pit, and they would see how we respond, and they'll be affected. Part of that effect will be it'll cause them to fear. It'll cause them to have reverence for Him. So their concern will then lead to their conversion. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. God said it was possible. God said if we'll do it, that if we'd trust God, praise Him in the pit, the sinners that are watching our lives, He said many, many would trust in the Lord. A sinner watching my life when I'm in the pit can see me trust the Lord, and it'll provoke them to trust the Lord. Are y'all getting this? Many shall see it. Oh, they're going to see it. If we'll do it, they'll see it. And they'll fear. What they see will have an effect on their lives. And it'll get to chewing on them and working on them. And they'll get to rolling it up. Hey, it's not a natural response. They'll see you respond completely unnatural. Completely like what they've seen others respond. How they would have responded. And they'll say to themselves, I don't know what He's got, but I want some of that. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Ledbetter, that's part of why I wanted to get saved. I wanted to get saved on January the 5th, 1992, and for weeks leading up to it. I wanted to get saved because I saw other people have it, and I wanted what they had. It created a hunger and a thirst in my heart and in my life. I wanted what they had. I knew their lives wasn't any more perfect than mine. I knew that in my old teenage way of saying it, I knew that they had some problems just like we all have problems. But I saw them praise God. I saw them worship God. I'm telling you, I would see them in the choir and they'd sing and worship God. They'd come out of the choir and walk the aisles. I'm talking about I'd see them praise God, worship God. They'd stand up in their pews there and they'd testify and shout and completely get lost. I mean, didn't know nobody was in the building, just them and God, worshiping God. I'd sit back on the pew at 445 Beach Street here in Newport, Tennessee, and that created a hunger and a thirst in my soul. I didn't have what they had. I was miserable. I had my problems. They had their problems, but they were responding with it, and I wanted it. Amen. I wanted it. Many shall see it. If we'll do it, they'll see it. Maybe not everybody, but many. If we'll do it, they'll see it. And it'll stir something up. They'll fear. It'll affect them. And it'll cause them to want what you have. And I thought about this. Folks that are saved, but they're struggling in their own horrible pit. And they see it.
That's right.
Amen. Folks that are saved by the good grace of God, might be whoever's sitting to your right or your left, might be whoever it is that's sitting behind you or before you. It might be somebody, I mean, that you don't even know is watching your life. But make no mistake about it, somebody's watching your life. And they're going through their own pit experience. They're going through their own struggles. And they don't know exactly how to respond. They don't know exactly what it's all about. They can't quite figure out why am I here? Why have God left me this place so long? Why ain't He delivered me faster than this? But they look around and they see an also. They look around and they see you walking by faith, not by feelings. They look around and they see you looking up and out. They look around and they see you praise God and worship God in spite of your problems, in spite of your circumstances, in spite of the pit. They look at you and it inspires them to want to do right.
Amen.
Encouraging one another and exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I'm talking about if you'll do right in the pit, God will use your life to affect another brother, to affect another sister, and it'll help them in theirs.
Amen.
Brother Ledbetter going through his pit. Struggling. I don't know if y'all are not. But for the sake of our illustration, you are struggling, my brother.
Yeah.
Going through his pit. Maybe the devil, as we talked about last night, working in his mind to get him isolated in his mind. Ain't nobody cares. Ain't nobody paying attention to you and your pit. Ain't nobody knows what you're going through. You're the only one going through this. Preachers above that. No, he's made out of the same thing you and I are.
Right.
Preacher going through the pit. It would do him a world of good to see the people he's preaching to. He'd look around and see some of them. And he knows their life ain't just all great. They've got their problems like he's got his. But they decide and determine in their heart, I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to walk on. I'm just going to go with God. I mean, I've come too far to turn back. And what would we turn back to? I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to believe God's word. I'm just going to go with God. And your pastor looks up and says, oh yeah, I think I will too.
Amen.
Preacher, I thought the pastor was supposed to be the leader. He is. And you're supposed to be the follower. But once in a while, it would do him good. Are you listening to me? I don't go to church here, and I don't know what's going on here, and it ain't none of my business. All I know is the God of heaven is trying to get me to tell you that once in a while, He needs to see you. I mean, step up and rise up, man up or woman up, whatever you want to say, and trust God, and believe God, and walk with God, and go with God, even in the pit. Oh, that'll do more for him. That'll do more for your man of God. It'll put a fire in his soul. It'll put a fire in his bosom. It'll be fire in his bones. I'm telling you, if you want your man of God to be able to make it through his pit, part of what's going to help him is knowing that you're making it through yours.
Right.
Like a mature, developing, growing Christian.
Amen.
But I'm just young. Oh, he's counting on you the most.
That's right.
I'm just young. I'm telling you, he's counting on you the most.
Amen.
He's counting on you the most. But I can't do. Oh, you can be faithful. But I can't do. No, you can. choose to, you can. Many, rest assured, they're watching. We'll see it. If we'll do it, they'll see it. And they'll fear. There'll be a reverence and a respect for God and the things of God, the house of God, the Word of God, the people of God, that maybe they've never even experienced before in their life. They'll fear, and it'll incite them. It'll provoke them. It'll stir in their heart themselves, saved and lost. It'll inspire them to trust in the Lord. Do y'all see that? I mean, that's the heart of the matter. That's the crux of the matter. The pit ain't about you. Feels like it's all about me when I'm in it, though, don't it? Ain't that right? Feels like it's about nobody but me when I'm in it. God help us to think bigger. God help us to think bigger. Look up and out. It ain't about me. It's about others. I'm finished. We don't see this. We don't consider this while we're in an horrible pit. But the pit is not about us. It's about others. I'm involved, but it's not even about me. It's how we respond in the pit. It's how we behave in the pit. It's how we live our lives, even in the pit. It's if we'll pray and wait patiently while we're in the pit. It's if we'll praise and sing and worship God and honor Him, even in the pit. And then when God brings us up and out, by the way, man, it's so much different. It's not about me, but I'm involved. And when I've responded right in the pit, and then I'm on the other side of it, versus when I've responded wrong in the pit, and I'm on the other side of it. When I've responded wrong, there's shame, there's disgrace, there's repentance. There's low spiritual self-esteem. When I've responded right in the pit, oh my goodness.
Right.
I'm not talking about a proud, haughty arrogance or anything. I'm just talking about, man, you know you did right. You know you did right. You know you were serving God the whole time. You know that what you were doing, you were trying your best to please Him and honor Him and trust Him. And it's a whole different world when you come out of the pit having responded right, as opposed to coming out of the pit, because you're coming out. You're coming out. Having responded carnally or fleshly. When God brings us up and out, even while we're in the pit, it'll have an effect on others. They'll see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Pit's not about us. It's about others. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll have a verse of invitation. I want to give you an opportunity to come and pray. Pastor's going to come. What about it tonight? Have you ever thought about it? What the pit is even all about? Oh, it's just a hard time. No, God's trying to do something. Oh, it's just my turn to struggle a little bit. No, God's trying to do something. God's trying to use your life. How will you respond? The purpose of the pit is so God can use your life to affect others, to positively affect others. I mean, I imagine if it's true that we can respond right in the pit and positively affect others, that if we respond negatively in the pit, that's going to negatively affect others as well. God, help us to respond right in the pit.